Well, I didn't sleep well last night. It was a horrible day yesterday. Oh. I saw my Savior hanging there, oh, for 6 hours. Throughout the day, He hung there on the cross. And the afternoon, it was dark. Oh, it was ominous. Oh, the words my Savior spoke. Well, He hung there. He asked me if I would take care of His mother. He said to me, John, here's your mother. And He said to His mother, here's your son, as He pointed to me. Oh, and then He gave up the ghost. He died there on the cross, and I witnessed a centurion coming by and breaking the legs of the criminal on that side. Breaking the legs of the one on that side. And when he came to Jesus, he realized he was dead already. And he did not break his legs. And I remembered the scripture that a bone of him shall not be broken. Oh, he was bruised. He was bleeding. His flesh was hanging. But not a bone was broken, as the prophet said. Oh, and as I gazed on that horrible sight, I saw Joseph of Arimathea, a town not too far from here, 20 miles or so. And he came, and he was hanging around there, and then quickly he went, and I wasn't sure where he had gone. He talked to one of the centurions, and off he went, and then I saw him come back, looked like probably from Pilate's hall, from talking to Pilate, I assumed, and he had Nicodemus with him. Nicodemus, the one who I wrote about in John chapter 3. Who came to Jesus at nighttime and talked to Jesus, and Jesus helped Nicodemus to understand how it's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to be a good Jew. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Oh, he said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And you know, I believe that Nicodemus was saved. And boy, there I saw him. And Joseph. You know, Joseph was one of the counselors. He was one of on the council, even that hated Jesus and called for his death and crucifixion. Oh, but Joseph had not gone along with it. In fact, he had resisted. Actually, Joseph is a disciple of Jesus, but he was secret in that because fear of the Jews. But you know, Joseph and Nicodemus got a ladder, and they put it up against the cross, and they began to take his body down. I watched from afar. I didn't know how I could even help. I was so distraught. And they took him, and they laid him. I think it was Joseph's tomb. It was never used, but Joseph, he was a wealthy man, and he had this own tomb made for him and his family, hewn right into the rock, and he had this stone that was fitted just to be a doorway, but it was unused until now. Oh, but it was only for a short time, we were to learn later on, but you know what? They wound him with the linen cloths, brand new cloths that Joseph had purchased. And they wound him and they placed him there in that tomb. And they put the stone right in front. Many of the women were also watching and observing where he was laid. I heard many of the women talking of how they were going to go and prepare more spices that... You see, it was late Friday night, and the Sabbath starts at sundown, and we wanted to rest on the Sabbath day, and the ladies had prepared some spices, but they planned to come back early the first day of the week. And we mourned. Oh, we were distraught. What in the world could we do? Our Savior was dead, the one we trusted in. Oh, we were miserable. Everything had gone wrong. Oh, but then early that morning, the ladies, having prepared spices, came at sunup to the tomb site. I was tossing in my bed on my mat. I didn't know what to do, and as I saw the sun peeking out, Peter came knocking. John! John! Mary said that the stone has been rolled away and that there's no one in there. The body's been stolen. John, we gotta, John! And I got up in a hurry, put my robe on, and I ran out there with Peter, and we raced those several miles to the tomb site there in the garden. When we got there, the ladies had already gone. There was nobody there. And as I scratched my head outside the tomb, having gotten there a little before Peter, I wondered what could be happening. Why couldn't they just let him rest? Why did they have to steal his body? Peter came and he went right in. He was looking around in there, and I went in as well. And then I saw it. I saw it. The tomb wasn't empty. Oh, no, there was no body there. Oh, but there I saw it. The grave clothes that Joseph and Nicodemus had wrapped Jesus in with the spices. And they were all intact. They were not cut. They were not unraveled. Though he had been wrapped tightly like a mummy would be wrapped, I saw also the napkin. They had a special cloth that they had put just around his head. And there it was. It was folded neatly right there where his head had lain. And then I realized no one stole the body. Oh, no. No, he is risen. He's defeated death. Oh, and I rejoiced in my spirit. Oh, although it was so confusing. It was so hard. Is it really true? But in my heart of hearts, I believed. Peter doubted. As we went back, he said, "No, John. And we went back, and, well, it wasn't too much later on. But we started, the women who had been there early and Mary who had been there early, the women came back to us, and they were coming to different disciples' homes, the different ones of us, and they were saying, "He's risen! He's risen! He actually appeared to us on the road." And some of the other disciples were like, "No way, that's not possible. You guys must have seen some crazy vision. Maybe you didn't get enough sleep over last night. You're delusional." Well, then Mary came back as well. She had been separate from the original group of women because she had come to tell us and to get Peter and John, myself, that we could come and see. And we had left the tomb site, right? Well, Mary lingered there. And oh, she was spending that time around the tomb. And as she was hanging around there, weeping and sorrowing, still thinking that the body had been stolen, she saw inside the tomb two men sitting. Now they were angels, but I'm not sure Mary really understood that at the time. But one was at the foot where Jesus had lain, and one was at the head. And they asked Mary, and they said, "Mary," or well, they didn't use her name, but they asked, and they said, "Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And she said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And about that time, before the angels could make any special announcement to her, which they were well prepared to do, but she turned around and she saw standing behind her what she thought was the caretaker for the garden, the groundskeeper, the one who tends the flowers and keeps the grass and bushes trimmed. And she said to the gardener, she said, "Where have you taken my Lord?" Let me know so I can go and find him. And that gardener, whom she thought it was, said to her, Mary. And she said, Master, it's you. Master, and she fell at his feet and worshiped him. The prints of the nails were right there. Oh, and Jesus said to Mary just this morning, she said, Mary, I've got to ascend to my Father. But go and tell my disciples that I am risen and I'm going to appear to them over in Galilee. And so she came. She came just this morning. And so we've got these reports from the women, but none of the other disciples will believe me. They won't believe the women, and they don't believe me either. And I trust that he really is risen, but now most of the day is spent, and we haven't seen him. And I don't know what's going on. But I believe he's risen. My name is John. And I love the Lord Jesus. My name is John. And I was near him during his life. My name is John. And I hope I get to see him. Oh, I believe, even without seeing. But the other disciples are still struggling in unbelief. Amazing resurrection. Well, as the day has passed, we were hoping Jesus would show himself. The women are hard to believe. You see, even in a court of law in our day, a woman's testimony is not valued. Their eyewitness account has little worth in our culture. But a friend of mine, they've decided to head home, Cleopas. He's starting his journey home, he and his wife. And let's pick it up in Luke 24, where Dr. Luke, the physician, penned these words. Luke 24. Please notice we'll begin in verse 18. Actually, I'll begin just a little before that in verse 15. Verse 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass that, well, actually, I'll back up to verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. The Bible says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. That's about 6.5 miles. So a good walk. And Cleopas here, and probably his wife, were on this journey. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? So here comes Jesus. Cleopas is walking along here with, the Bible says, another disciple, more than likely his wife. And as they walk and talk about these unbelievable things that have transpired in the last few hours, the last few days, a stranger comes along and begins walking near them on the road. And he asks them, what are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? Notice now the last part of verse 18. The scripture says here, it says, Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there these days? And he said unto them, what things?
And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, here Jesus replies, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As they get to Emmaus, Jesus made it look like he was going to go farther. The sun was starting to set. They had not recognized who their traveler was, their company traveler along the road was. But they said to this gentleman, they said, the day is far spent. Why don't you turn in here? Stay with us. Lodge here tonight. And he said, all right, I'll come over. And he came into their house, their humble home. And Mrs. Cleopas maybe put a little meal together and got some bread down and put some things on the table. And they sat down there, the three of them. And the stranger took that loaf in his hands and began to break the bread apart and to hand it, pass it on. And it was in that moment we realized, this is Jesus. We hadn't noticed. Oh, and in that moment, he was gone. He was vanished. He was not there. And we said, oh, how our hearts burned within us when he talked with us on the road. How can it be? We missed him right there. There he was. He was in that chair right there. Cleopas, he was right there. Here's the bread he was breaking. It's broken right there on the table. And they said, let's go back. Let's go back to Jerusalem. We've got to tell the others. And they started that 6.5-mile journey right there and then. They rushed out of there. And notice what the scripture says. We'll pick it up here, verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So when Cleopas and his wife got back to the group, Simon was reporting, he's appeared to me, Jesus appeared to me, Simon Peter says. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? Been a few days since I've eaten. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus is it written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And Jesus looked right at us, and he said, you are witnesses of these things. Oh, I've never had a day like that day, that first resurrection morn. My sinless Savior, whose chest I had leaned on during his ministry, whose hands I had held at different points as he helped me to follow. Oh, I was struck with amazement that I was experiencing the very fulfillment of the holy prophets all the way from Moses, the first books of the Torah, through all the major and minor prophets and in the Psalms concerning the Messiah. And here he was. Oh, the amazing resurrection of my Savior. Oh, I would like to tell you a little more about the amazing resurrection. Please consider, if you will, with me, how the resurrection of my Savior validates the gospel message. Oh, friends, there is no good news without the risen Savior. We were distraught. He was killed. He was brutally. His life was taken from him. If he had stayed in Joseph's tomb, the gospel would be invalid. His promises would not have been true. Oh, my friend, but the gospel is valid because Christ is alive. He rose. I have seen him with my eyes. I have touched him. He is alive. Oh, the Apostle Paul will one day write in Hebrews, if indeed it was him, that Jesus is our high priest and he has the power of an endless life. An endless life. And it tells us in Hebrews that he is the surety of a better testament, and that he is able to save to the uttermost because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, my Savior is alive. He is alive today. Oh, though he was doomed to death, he is risen to life. Oh, I remember when he said to me, I am the way. Philip was asking and said, Lord, how do we get to the kingdom of God? We don't know the way. And Jesus replied and said, I am the way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Oh, Jesus, my Savior, He is the only way. Oh, an amazing resurrection. It validates the gospel. But secondly, I want you to understand, friends, that it secures victory for the Christian. Oh, from my generation forward, till Christ returns for us, oh, victory has been secured. Our sin has been settled. And we can live victorious lives in Christ. Because He defeated sin. Because He washed our sins away. We have victory over the enemy. We have victory over death. We have victory over hell. And over all of these things. Jesus said, as I recorded in my gospel, chapter 11, how Jesus said to Mary and to Martha, when their brother Lazarus had died, that was about 6 months ago, Lazarus was dead. I was there with him. We were far away when we heard the news that he was sick. And by the time we got there, it had been 4 days since he died. Lazarus was in the tomb. That tomb was sealed. He was probably stinking by then. Oh, but Jesus came and Jesus called him out. And Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out bound in those grave clothes. Oh, because Jesus told us right there that He is the resurrection and the life. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Wow. My Savior is alive. There's victory for the Christian. Victory over death. Victory over sin. Victory over hell. Our risen Savior. Oh, friends, number three, I want to tell you, I have new meaning in life. Because Jesus gives meaning to life. Oh, I have followed Him for these years in His earthly ministry. And now to see Him die and not understanding quite what was going on, but now recognizing that He is alive. Oh, I am going to serve Him with my life. I am going to be faithful. On God willing, I'll be faithful to my old age. God willing, I'm going to serve Him. In fact, I've already started on the notes for the gospel that I'm going to write. The book of John. Yes, very fitting. I'd like to give my testimony of what I saw so that others will be able to read the truth and believe. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit giving me the words already. My pen, as I write on the papyrus, my pen just flows. It flows such as God is giving me the very words. Recalling things I've seen, but giving me far more than these eyes ever saw. Oh, that others through the years will read and come to trust the Savior that I know. Oh, meaning to life. You know, without a Savior, without the Messiah, without Jesus, life is pointless. It doesn't matter how nice of a donkey you own, or how sweet of a house you can build in the village. Oh, friend, life is pointless without Jesus. Are you serving Him today? I, John, am going to live for Him with every day He gives me. I feel that He has great things He wants me to do. I am willing to die for His name. I want you to also know I'm willing to live for Him and I'm willing to die for Him because His resurrection assures my future. His glorious resurrection assures my future. I don't have to fear though they banish me to a deserted island. I don't have to fear though they were to try to boil me in hot oil, because I have a Savior who defeated death, who took my sin away. I am John, and I love God, and I love His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you, would you read the record God gave me in the gospel that bears my name? Would you take time to reflect on the account? For it is really not I that wrote it. 'Tis but the Holy Spirit that guided me. He gave me the very words. Oh, and He also, later in my life, as I did suffer for His name, He allowed me to pen the very last book of the Bible. It would be the capstone, the completion, the revelation of John the Divine. How can it be? Oh, it's worth it all to serve Jesus. I am John. I love Jesus. He loved me. Where's your future? Who are you living for? Oh, friends, we have a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing else more precious than to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Oh, we have a future waiting. Life is short. Oh, death is always knocking. It's always looming. You don't have to be old to die young. Oh, even though I, John, live to be into my 90s. You don't have to be old to die. Would you be faithful? Would you be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amazing resurrection. You know, if you don't know Christ, whether it was in the Apostle John's day or whether it's in 2021, on this April the 4th, Easter Sunday, you can trust Christ. You can call on Him and He will save you. He's been saving souls for thousands of years. He not only saved mine, and I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner who couldn't save himself. My sin damned me, but my Savior gave His life for me. Oh, have you trusted Christ?